Welcome to the Brown County Hour.
Coming to you from the legendary hills of Brown,
where the plum purple haze,
the one nature herself drapes over the hills and hollers,
inspires local characters, artists, and nature lovers.
It's as though the hills themselves conspire to create a beauty and culture in the heart of Indiana.
Sit for a spell and hear the music.
Tall tales.
True stories.
And current goings on.
Brought to you by folks who still know how to sit by a fire in winter.
And swim buck naked in summer.
Welcome to episode 61 of the Brown County Hour. This is Vera Grubbs and
Dave Seastrom, along with the rest of the crew. This is our spring fun drive show, and the layout will be a little different this month. So instead of our usual introduction, we'll announce the contents of each segment as they are presented.
Our first segment will begin with our conversation with this month's musical guest, Roger Bannister, and we'll listen to his song, Airmail Special.
It's our privilege to have Roger Bannister at the Brown County Hour. Hi, Roger.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. Roger is a multi-instrumentalist who's involved in a lot of different musical endeavors, not the least of which is his own family band, the Bannister Family Band, and he has toured with Tim Grimm, 13 cities and 4 countries most recently. So where should we begin, Roger?
Well, my week begins wherever I want it to begin, actually. But I play a lot at Big Woods and the Pine Room in the area with Tad Armstrong, who is the owner of Hesitation Point Bike Shop.
Who was our featured guest last month?
Yeah, that was just a chance meeting. We had a great time playing music together. My sister usually do a duet, and she was not available, and this was just one of these many chance things. So I reached out to Tad, and I was really glad that he came on board. And so we had just been doing a lot more playing together. It has really clicked, and we have a lot of, even though we're diverse musical backgrounds, I like that. I like that diversity between our styles of rock and roll and acoustic roots.
Well, that would be the Green Valley String Band, is that correct?
Correct. That's his band.
Okay. Who's in that band?
David White, John Boyer, Tad, and myself.
Okay. John from the Hammer and the Hatchet.
Correct.
Well, that's certainly strong Brown County musical roots right there. As I understand it, you have a couple of CDs that you brought in, Looking Back, which is a solo effort, and then Spirit and Grace, which is with your family band, and it's a gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to talk about those?
Sure. Looking Back, when I was in my original band called Buck Stove and Range Company in Chicago, I've had a lot of years of performing, and I'd never done any solo. Had never done a solo project, so this was something that was on my mind. I'm trying to think of the year, but it's about 08. I did this solo project in 08. So it was just a bunch of tunes pulled together that with different musicians that I was playing with at the time. That album is mostly bluegrass, some of it really hard-driving straight bluegrass. And then there's a couple of country songs on there, ballads. Then I have a gospel medley on there with my sister. And then Spirit and Grace, we had never done a gospel project, completely gospel, though bluegrass has got a lot of that music in it, you know, the singing, the harmony singing. And so we thought we could put a project together of mostly standards, things that we like to sing, things that people like to hear. That was out in 2015.
Oh, so that's pretty recent.
Fairly recent.
Well, like you say, you play a lot locally, so we can see you at a lot of different venues. You already listed a couple. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Let me say this. I'll be over at Big Woods doing all duets that month with Tad on April 3rd, April 11th, April 19th, and then my dates go out into May. But, you know, mostly at Big Woods. Then there were some at Pine Room, but those will be coming. Those are up and coming.
Well, and again, you play guitar, banjo, fiddle, and mandolin.
I do.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Quite a bit of versatility.
Well, I started out as a banjo player. That was my dad was a really big music enthusiast. My grandfather played old-time fiddle, and my dad played guitar. So he would always we'd just go out to Bean Blossom to the Brown County Jamboree when it was just the Brown County Barn there and go to the shows on Sunday. So the three of us together would go and watch, you know, the old classic country acts, everything from Loretta Lynn to Little Jimmy Dickens to Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys.
So you've seen all the greats.
Yeah, I was really fortunate, you know, and I really didn't want to go at first, you know. It was, you know, you're going with your grandfather and your dad, and it was something he really was kind of pushing at that point. It was like, I just want to stay home. But I'm so glad that he did, and because it really cultivated an interest in a kind of music I don't think I would have ever come across any other way, just living in Columbus, Indiana, because, you know, at that time everybody was playing rock and roll. This was the late 60s.
Right, and there was nothing on the radio.
No. So Dad and my grandfather were a huge influence. So going out there, I saw this kid about my age. His name is Dave Hedrick. He is a resident native from around here. He and his brother Gary were playing on the stage of Bean Blossom, and the crowd was going crazy, and I was like, oh, God, I wish I could do that. And I really love the sound of that instrument. He's that banjo he's playing, so ended up hooking up with a guy from Mount Airy, North Carolina. My dad found this guy that was teaching them, both of them.
Mount Airy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he was obviously a transplant. He came here because there was really no work. And like so many people would migrate north because of the lack of work. So he was an 18-wheeler over-the-road trucker for his living. But he did some stints with Bill Monroe on and off in the late 50s, in the hard times for Bill Monroe. So he was the catalyst for me learning, and it was an oral tradition. We would sit there on his couch for an hour, and he would say, put your finger on this string and this fret and hit the second string or first string or whatever, and one note at a time you would grind this out. And I really, it was...
How old were you at that time?
About 12.
There you go.
You know, and it was a my way or the highway kind of a guy. But I really responded to that. My dad was a hard-nosed factory worker, so that was what I was used to. Eventually, it became a lot of fun to sit and learn that music. I got a college education of Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys music. I mean, what a lucky opportunity was, because we would sit as time would go by, and I showed some kind of, you know, promise, I guess he thought. He would come over to the house and he would say, let's listen to the Bill Monroe instrumental album. And he would dissect each one of the tracks, and he could actually name the sidemen that were playing on each one of those, because he just was buried in that music. So that's what he wanted to teach me. So the banjo, he really enjoyed playing the fiddle. That was his instrument. But the banjo was his second love, and he was really good at it. So, and he was a good teacher. You know, it was a really hard road, but, you know, one note at a time like that. But it was worth it. I really enjoyed it.
Wow, it sounds like a tremendous opportunity. I mean, right back to the roots.
Yeah, I mean, I got it really straight from the horse's mouth. I didn't know, you know, I was just a kid. I mean, I didn't know anything about what I was learning and why I was learning it and why he was teaching me this and who Bill Monroe was, really. I mean, I was just attracted to the sound of the banjo. But he put everything together, that history around that, how it, you know, Earl Scruggs fit that into that sound, and then banjo players at one after another would add their take on it, their spin to it. So it was fun. It got really involved, actually. I learned how to sing harmony, and that was part of the training.
Oh, that's what I left out. You're also a vocalist.
I do sing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would call myself a vocalist, but, you know, I do sing. I enjoy singing. And I've always sung around the house with my family.
Well, there you go. And we can find you on the Bannister Family Band Facebook page. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably easier to find me on my Facebook page would be Roger Bannister Music.
Okay. Roger, this has been excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
In this portion of the show, we'll listen to a conversation with Jim Eagleman and Jeff Keller as they discuss our local frogs. And we'll hear Roger Bannister play his song, Home.
Hello, once again, this is Jim Eagleman reporting for WFHB, the Brown County Hour. And this is our nature news segment for this time with our special guest, Jeff Keller. In addition to his CD of Brown County bird calls, Jeff has also developed a keen interest in frogs and their status here locally and worldwide. Thanks for coming on to the show today, Jeff.
Thank you, Jim.
Tell us about your Brown County property. I understand you live on a ranch.
I refer to it as a frog ranch. I bought the property about 10 years ago. I live there. It's a 5.5-acre parcel of land. It came with a 1.5-acre pond with bass and bluegill, and there were 3 species of frogs that bred on the property when I bought it. However, I put in and dug shallow, fish-free ephemeral ponds. There are 4 of them on this property, and the amphibians love them. I now have 8 species of frogs and toads that breed on the property out of a possible 11 species that breed in Brown County. So I have markedly increased the biodiversity of this particular parcel of land.
And you were telling me earlier of the status concern of frogs worldwide.
That is a definite concern. Yeah. It is widely accepted, conservatively, that 1/3 of all amphibian species worldwide are in decline and are either threatened with extinction or they're endangered at this very point in time. Most of this is happening in the tropics. However, there are multiple reasons for this massive decline in amphibians, including habitat destruction, toxic chemicals and pesticides, the thinning of the ozone, which lets in more ultraviolet radiation, is destroying frog populations in the Cascade Mountains of Oregon. Due to the pet trade, you have chytrid fungus and ranavirus being spread globally that's wiping out populations. So it's more than just one issue involved. It's multiple issues. And also there are populations of frogs disappearing in the tropics, and they don't even know what's the problem.
Well, speaking of your ranch, and it's a local feature that people might be interested in, can they visit your frog ranch, and how do they contact you?
Yes, I welcome all visitors, and I'm easy to contact. I would appreciate an email, a heads-up email, but my email address is easy to remember, frogranchdude@gmail.com. So send me an email and we'll work something out.
Well, with all the rain lately, let's talk a little bit about what folks are listening to, and they surely have noticed more frog calls, probably from roadside ditches as you're driving to work. And one call that is unmistakable is the chorus frog. What can you tell us about this unique frog?
That's one of the first frogs that you will hear calling in early spring or late winter. And it is a species that frequents the floodplains, the lowlands. They call during the day. Both the fact that they call, that they're calling in huge numbers in the daytime and in a floodplain pretty much boils it down to chorus frogs. The call, if you can hear the individual calls, it will be reminiscent of raking your thumbnail across a comb. However, to appreciate that, you'd have to hear just maybe a half a dozen of these frogs going at once. And typically, you hear hundreds of them, which is white noise, basically.
Hence the term chorus. They're in a big, big group.
They are indeed. Very appropriate.
Another call that we hear down by our mailbox are the spring peepers. It's a big peep from a little frog.
Absolutely. These little guys can be ear-shattering at close proximity. They generally are an upland species, and they prefer much more wooded sites than the chorus frogs that are more out in the open country in the fields and the ditches. But they, too, call all night long. I should say they prefer to call in the night and not in the day. So just the very fact that they're calling at different times helps one differentiate the spring peepers from the chorus frogs. Besides, they do sound considerably different once you get a feel for that.
And then we were talking earlier about this unique frog, the wood frog, and what can you say about it?
Wood frogs are one of my favorite species in this county. They are truly a spectacle during breeding season, a sight to behold. They are uncommon. You have to know where to go to find them. But 2 of the best places to see them are in Brown County State Park. Hesitation Point Pond is probably ground zero for wood frog breeding activity in the entire county. You need to know when to go visit this particular site because the number of days where they breed is very brief. It may be over and done with in 36 to 48 hours. It is traditionally the last week or two of February when we get 3 consecutive days of 55 to 60 degree temperatures. that really brings out the wood frogs. And they congregate in mass to this pond. But what makes it so fascinating is the fact that the males outnumber the females by a whopping 10 to 1 or even 15 or 20 to 1. The females are much larger, and they need to be. There is a color difference. The females are bronzy colored, and the males are dark. So you can actually look out there and say, I see five females, but there are just dozens of males.
And finally, we're experiencing this steady warm trend, and the trilling of the American toad is a call we're probably all familiar with, and I'm sure many people notice. And it's not a true frog, of course, but it is needing to return to the water, like all the frogs that you've mentioned.
You are correct. The toads only return to water to breed. We have two species, American toads and Fowler's toads, but we only have about three of the species of frogs that stay near permanent water. Most of our frogs, like the toads, after the breeding is over, disseminate out into the hinterland. Wood frogs are one of them. Spring peepers leave the breeding sites. That is a difference. Mostly it's the difference is the dryness of the skin. The toads are so dry and their back legs aren't well developed and they just merely hop instead of leap.
Good,
but they're very similar.
And so if people watching, they have your site to visit, the Frog Ranch, and then there's a Department of Natural Resources Frog Watch. It's a monitoring program available to some volunteers. You go onto the DNR website.
If you're referring to Frog Watch USA,
yes,
I happen to be one of the instructors for Frog Ranch USA, and they have the class in Bloomington.
Nice to have our local guest, Jeff Keller, with us today. Learn all about the different kinds of frogs here in Brown County. This is Jim Eagleman reporting again for Nature News, WFHB, the Brown County Hour. Thanks for listening.
The only thing I see ahead is just the heat arising off the road, and the rainbows I've been chasing keep on fading before I find my pot of gold. But the more and more I'm thinking that the only treasures that I'll ever know are long ago and far behind, wrapped up in my memories of home. Home was a swimming hole and a fishing pole and the feel of a muddy road between my toes. A back porch swing where I would sit and Mom would sing Amazing Grace while she hung up the clothes. Home was an easy chair with my daddy there and the smell of Sunday supper on the stove. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. Now the miles I put behind me ain't as hard as the miles that lay ahead, and it's much too late to listen to the words of wisdom that my daddy said. But the straight and narrow path he showed me turned into a thousand winding roads. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. Home was a swimming hole and a fishing pole and the feel of a muddy road between my toes. Home was a back porch swing where I would sit and Mom would sing Amazing Grace while she hung out the clothes. Home was an easy chair with my daddy there and the smell of Sunday supper on the stove. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. Yeah, the straight and narrow path he showed me turned into a thousand winding roads. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. Going home.
We'll begin segment three with this month's For a Song with Carrie Ray, and we'll continue with Roger Bannister as he performs a medley of spiritual songs.
I'm Carrie Ray, coming to you from an undisclosed location in South Florida. In this installment of For a Song, however, I'd like to share with you an experience I had recently while traveling the country for the sake of songs, also known as being on tour. It was a driving day, and I was making my way from Nashville, Tennessee to Opelika, Alabama, and I had all day for a drive that wouldn't quite take all day. A couple of weeks before leaving, I was quite moved reading a BBC article about a man in Florence, Alabama, who had spent 35 years hand-stacking a rock wall in honor of one of his ancestors. So I took the long way along the Natchez Trace, another treat, to see this spectacle for myself. I'll share a link to the BBC article so you can read all of the detail, but I'll fill you in on the highlights. Tilane was a native of the Uchi tribe of Native Americans who lived along Alabama's Tennessee River, which they called Nunase, or Singing River. She and her sister were rounded up as part of Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act and forced to walk 600 miles to Oklahoma. She listened to all of the rivers along the way, but none sang to her the same way as the Nunase. So she waited out the winter and left as soon as spring would allow. The Indian records in Oklahoma list her as deceased, because she simply disappeared. What followed was a winding journey back to her home that took 5 years to make. When she returned, she fell in love with a white man and settled near the Alabama-Tennessee line, where she practiced native medicine for the rest of her days. Tilane was the great-great-grandmother of a man named Tom Hendricks. He learned of her story from his grandmother, and while he had always wanted to do something to honor her memory, he didn't know where to begin. When Tom was in his early 50s, a Uchi elder, Miss Minnie Long, came to visit him and suggested that he honor her with stones, as is the tradition of her people, saying, "We shall all pass this earth, only the stones will remain." She also suggested that he build two unmortared, hand-stacked walls, one for each of her journeys. And so he did, over 35 years and 8.5 million pounds of stone. He told an interviewer, "I've wore out 3 trucks, 22 wheelbarrows, 2,700 pairs of gloves, 3 dogs, and 187-year-old man." Over the years, visitors have come from all 50 states and over 130 countries and island nations to pay their respects, and many to bring the gift of a special stone from their homeland to add to the wall. So that's her story, and his, Tilane and Tom. Now for mine. The wall is at Tom's house, so there's no welcome center, maps, or brochure. There's also no admission fee or parking lot. I attempted to thread the needle by pulling the carry van into the narrow drive between, you guessed it, 2 rock walls, but was directed by a soft-spoken gentleman sitting in a folding chair in the drive to park along the red gravel road across from the house. There was only one other car parked. Disney it's not. I grabbed my camera, threw it in my waxed canvas shell bag, and walked across the road, where I met Trace, for the second time. Trace is Tom's son, and he explained that to my left was a shorter, fairly straight path that represents the walk to Oklahoma along the Trail of Tears. And to my right is a much longer, winding path that represents the journey back home. Another feature that separates the two is that the winding path also includes inlets and alcoves with markers or benches that represent a person or group of people who helped T. Lene along the way. So I started walking. First the short, straight path, then the long, winding one. I never expected a simple walk to impact me as profoundly as it did. The first thing that occurred to me was that I could feel the love and see the care brought to the laying of every stone. Then, as I walked back through the winding path, I thought about my own life path and those of many of my Brown County friends. How for a time I tried to walk the prescribed path laid out before me. Straight, narrow, linear, obvious, approved. And now I walk the winding path back to myself. Winding, crooked, long, sometimes arduous, fraught with fears and trials. But that's not the whole story. Along the way, I run into kindred spirits, angels, beauty, surprises, love, and laughter, and the glorious inability to see too far ahead for the curves. On the winding path, I came across a woman taking pictures. She's the one who took the photo of me I will include in this post. She is Tom's daughter-in-law. As we spoke, she said, "You've come here at a special time. Tom died a week ago today, and we laid him to rest up the road yesterday. That's why it was Trace, his son, and not Tom, greeting folks at the wall." So I made a little plate of lunch in the carry van and walked back over so Trace could tell me more of his family's stories. Too soon it was time for me to go, and while I had stayed too long to pay my respects at Tom's grave and make it in time to load in for my show, I will be back, and I'll bring a stone to add to the wall, probably a Brown County geode. I'm Carrie Ray, walking along the winding path back to myself and stacking up songs like stones, wishing you Godspeed and hoping you'll join me next time on For a Song. If you have ideas, questions, or topics you would like to have covered on For a Song, please send them along. You can reach me via the contact page of my website, carrieray.com. That's CARRIRAY.com. Thanks for listening.
So aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord. A fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Thank you.
In the final portion of the show, we'll hear Mike Buby share his take on people watching. Dave Seastrom has a few things to say about supporting WFHB, and we'll conclude with Roger Bannister performing I Am a Pilgrim.
Hi, this is Mike Buby with the Brown County Hour, and a word of encouragement for everyone. I'm sure there are times when you end up doing things you'd rather not be doing. And when this happens, I've also found that there's no sense in grumbling about it. Just figure a way to make the best of the situation. With that in mind, let me tell you about an outing doing one of my least favorite things and how I turned it into something amusing and fun. Well, at least it was fun for me. Recently, while spending a little time in downtown Nashville, I located a cozy spot on one of those benches that sits outside the shops. The rest of the group that I was with proceeded with their shopping adventure. Sitting and waiting, I finally found it interesting just watching the activities of the other shoppers on the street. So instead of being upset and bored waiting on my fellow friends while they pursued their shopping ritual, I recalled an article I had once read. It told about the similarities between people and their pets. So to pass the time, I picked out certain passerbys and set to correlating what kind of pet they most reminded me of. Ha ha! What fun! Needless to say that in no time at all, I realized what a total zoo it was on the streets of Nashville. This turned out to be quite enjoyable, and as time lingered on, the comparisons didn't stop with just pets. No, I extended my comparisons of people to different types of trees. Believe me, there are lots of similarities between trees and people. Really, particularly the fruit and nut varieties of which categories I personally fall into. I know by now you've figured out I'm not big on shopping. Never have been. Now the point of all this, yes, there is a point to make. In life, when you're in a situation that doesn't appeal to you, turn it into something positive. You may surprise yourself with how creative you can be or where that creativity may lead you. So as it turned out, in a way, going shopping, well, wasn't all that bad. And if you ever see me in downtown Nashville warming up a bench, you'll know there's a possibility you're being given a new undisclosed identity. And if you're ever a tag-along shopper like I was, I'll save you a spot on my favorite bench, too. Thanks to all the shoppers that day who unknowingly made my shopping experience a real treat. This is Mike Buby with the Brown County Hour on your favorite radio station, WFHB, and happy shopping to all!
Volunteer-powered community radio exists because the people who listen to WFHB support it. It's really that simple. We provide the news and entertaining programming that you enjoy, and you provide the financial support the station needs to survive. We at the Brown County Hour are in a unique situation. We have our own studio located in the History Center in downtown Nashville. This facility was paid for by fundraisers we've participated in and reflects the amount of local support we receive. But we don't exist in a vacuum. We are very much a part of WFHB, and as such, we need your patronage to continue producing the Brown County Hour. If you think about it, it's a partnership, and that's why we come to you twice a year to ask for your help. So far, the Brown County Hour team has produced 61 episodes of this show. We began when the first one aired on July 24, 2010. We have three members of the crew, Pam Rader, Vera Grubbs, and Rick Fettig, that go back to the very beginning. I came on board during episode 15. We've since added team members Carrie Ray, who was a longtime contributor and became an official member of the crew during episode 43, and our sound engineer, Chuck Wills, who officially joined the show for episode 53 in August of last year. Each month, the six of us interview musicians, artists, and people of local interest. We also invite essayists and poets to share their work. Our guests share their creative energy and help inform the listening audience about life in Brown County. Brown County has the largest percentage of forested land of any county in the state of Indiana, And as part of our mission, we interview forest scientists and preservation advocates in order to inform the public of the dire situation our state forests are in. Over the years, we've enjoyed conversations with civic leaders, notable elders, and movers and shakers in our community. We've also introduced the public to many musicians who are well-known locally or who were broadcast for the very first time because of the Brown County Hour. Our show, like the many others on WFHB, is all about the community we serve. I mention this because this is what makes WFHB unique. We're not a computer-driven, syndicated synthesis of distilled popular music with canned DJs who live far away from their listening audience. We are your friends and neighbors. The music selections are made by people who present the music, and the news is about where we live. We feature lots of local talent, and through this, we support the local music and art scene. WFHB is completely open to new volunteers, and we offer training to become members of the news team, desk jockeys, or DJs. This means that anyone that's interested can eventually find themselves on the radio. In these and in so many other ways, we are part of the community. This year's Fun Drive motto is Stand. It's symbolic in a couple of ways. First, it's about standing together to support this community asset by donating some of our hard-earned dollars. It also means that in our highly questionable times, we stand together as we face an uncertain future. We receive a portion of our budget from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Once again, funding for the CPB is being called into question and faces stiff opposition by budget cutters who would do away with it. So, now more than ever, we need your support. I think most of us can agree that listening to WFHB is fun. The DJs and the programmers are having a good time, and you can hear that in the shows that they produce. But we can also get serious when we need to, and this is demonstrated in the advocacy shows and the community forums that are part of the mix. We can't be everything for everybody, but we want to be something you enjoy and feel strongly enough about to stand up with us and champion our mutual effort by donating to the station. On behalf of the Brown County Hour and the other 200 volunteers that make WFHB what it is, we thank you. This is Dave Seastrom. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to episode 61 of the Brown County Hour, recorded in our studio at the History Center here in downtown Nashville, and brought to you the first Sunday of the month at 9 a.m., and now at our new time, the following Wednesday at 5:30 p.m.
The Brown County Hour is brought to you by a diverse group of folks who believe, now more than ever, that the world is for everyone.
This show was produced by
Chuck Wills,
Pam Rader,
Rick Fettig,
Vera Grubbs,
Carrie Ray,
and Dave Seastrom.
We would also like to thank Slats Klug for our theme music. You have been listening to the Brown County Hour,
coming to you from deep in the woods of Brown County, Indiana.
Celebrating the arts, culture, and nature that make this such a unique community.
Visit us online at browncountyhour.com.
The Brown County Hour is a production of WFHB.
Volunteer-powered, listener-supported community radio for South Central Indiana.
Take me back to my home, Brown County home.